everybody. That's my impression of Barack Obama. What's yours?
I don't, mine isn't really ready for prime time.
Why not?
It's not very good. I mean, it's just the opening line, like, I think you did about as well as, is that good? Hello, everybody!
Hello, everybody!
And welcome to the DJMCloud.com podcast, episode number 41, and we're recording this on July 25th, 2012. And we have the very, very big and perhaps undercovered story, Mountain Lion, is released for OS X. The new version. And by undercovered, I mean that I have not upgraded either of our Macs to Mountain Lion. I'm undercovering it. I think the media is certainly doing quite a bit of paying attention to it. So I will refer you elsewhere, including ArsTechnica.com. John Syracuse has his review up there already. I've been reading through it. So that's a good place to get info. Are you looking forward to a new OS X version?
Yeah, well, are you just reading everything before you upgrade, or are you just waiting because there's just that wait period with upgrades to make sure there's no, like, major bugs, or what's the wait?
Yeah, that's a good... I am waiting because I'm looking to keep... Yeah, I feel like I want to do a comprehensive backup of... everything on the system that I'm going to back up. And currently my the MacBook Pro isn't backed up. It needs to get run through a backup. On the other hand, the iMac, well, I think I have all the data backed up off of it that I'm going to. I need to do a major purge. It has like only 20 gigs left on the terabyte hard drive. And I don't know if that's enough even to be able to upgrade on, you know, so... I'm just being held back by a couple little things like that, you know, but I don't want to just move off in the middle of working on stuff with the MacBook Pro.
So we did try to go to Staples twice and buy external hard drives, and to no avail. You know, brick and mortars these days just don't have the goods that online do, and if we had just ordered it online, we probably would have had it by now.
Yeah, I don't know if they would have had that special, but maybe, and it is... I mean, the thing is, they put a terabyte drive for Mac, a Western Digital terabyte drive, on sale. And so, you know, yeah, you pick up the... And for some reason, right, now at the Staples by us, they don't have, like, any real inventory of hardly anything. They just have, like, empty boxes, and you walk up with the empty box. So I was able to pick up an empty box and walk up to the front.
And then they tell you they don't have it.
They say they don't have any stuff. First, they try to bring out one of those big rigs, one of those large, you know, hard drives that you plug in separately. We actually have one of them, but I'm looking now to get the smaller form factor at the terabyte size, you know, and so they bring out the big rig, and I don't want that, you know, and then they kind of, and they realize it as they're handing it to me, and they're like, oh, you know, like the, I'm going to try to do the Simpsons guy voice more, the, you know, you, that isn't the one you wanted, or like whatever. Yeah. Well, it is time now for the social media update with Jessica. And Jessica, what are the big trends? What's going on?
Well, I think that Pinterest seems to be on everybody's talking points these days.
Yeah, is it still the hot thing out there for women anyway?
I think it is. I think that, you know, a lot of brands are starting to realize, you know, especially like food brands and shopping brands, clothing retail, that people are visual and they like to look at things visually. But what I am seeing on social media are companies running to the platform, getting a presence on there, doing some campaigns, and being the first company to do a campaign on Pinterest or this network or that network or whatever, the first one to do a Google chat, you know, and it's just, it's not about the customers. It's not about the consumers. You know, businesses are getting caught up in their industry press coverage. They're getting caught up in their agencies, I'm sure, because a lot of the stuff I read is done by agencies.
Yeah.
And there's that competitiveness.
There's a really heavy
agencies.
Hand, isn't it? You can see a really heavy hand of agencies in a lot of social media.
It's, social media is very campaign-based. And there is a, you know, there's an opportunity to be an authentic voice as your brand and participate and connect with your customers. And they will talk with you. And I think that, you know, with Pinterest, it being so visual and so enticing, you know, think about what is visual and interesting about your brand. And and if there isn't anything there, then Pinterest isn't the place for you. And spend your resources on crafting a really great Facebook strategy or a really great Facebook and Twitter strategy. If your users aren't on Twitter, don't be on Twitter. You know, if they're on Facebook, embrace them and embrace the social sharing of Facebook, the importance of photos. Well, if you're really into recipes and you have a lot of great recipes or you have a really great inventory and photos that tell your story, you know, use Pinterest. And I see people doing this, and I think it's wrong. And I think somewhere in Pinterest's bylaws or whatever, it's like anti-Pinterest. But you pin a photo of a marketing piece or a campaign piece or a click here to enter our contest. And it's like, no, why would you pin that? You know, the pin board is about inspiration and ideas. And now, you know, people are excited because they're like, oh, they're using it in this different way to create links back to their site, right? Because all the pins link back to the site. But you're not using it as intended. And it's eventually just going to be a shiny object, you know, and you're not going to have staying power as a brand.
Yeah.
And I think the importance of a brand is staying power. Everything you do today in social media is going to be recorded and known in 10 years from now. Think about that. Think about what you post, how you represent your brand in social media. Just as we advise our kids and our young friends just out of college or in college with posting photos, think about it as a brand too.
Pinterest had a announcement. I think I heard they had an announcement that you can put a special tag in the HTML of your website if you don't want to be pinned. And that's it's an opt out. Now, I guess there's a certain point in making it possible, something like a, you know, like a robots directive. Like but I think it speaks to a great deal of arrogance. Pinterest is something that I think a lot of men look askance at, because like what's visually appealing to women and what's visually appealing to men are some of the same things and some different things, and there's a preponderance of stuff that I think is pinned by and interested in by women, and I mean, so maybe, you know, like there's that certain amount of skepticism where the subject matter of the stuff that I see on the front page doesn't interest me. I don't dig very deep, but I got to admit, I've never really seen like a sub site that I know. I was talking to your friend about that, and she was making a case that there's an interest group for everybody. I've never found a page that interests me on Pinterest. I don't know, like, and I'm happy to go, for example, for visual stuff, I will go to design blogs, you know, like smashingmagazine.com and abadizo.com or whatever that site is. They have a lot of great visual stuff. There's some Tumblrs that I follow that I can get a lot of cool stuff by looking at blogs and Tumblrs and stuff like that. I don't need Pinterest to aggregate stuff for me. And I use aggregators like TechMeme, a little bit and read it, but I don't really see a lot of value in Pinterest for the way I consume information.
I think Pinterest to me is just a visual Twitter. You know, you can search for things, and there's a curation aspect to it, which is really nice. So if you search vegan recipes, you can sort of assume that the ones that are pinned are going to be good. So people have gone out and made them and tried them, and they're like, they recommend it. That's the pinning, right? I'm not going to just put anything on my pin board. I'm going to put the good stuff. So there's already the sort of like a quality about Pinterest, which is why retail and food and everything are so associated with it. And the reason why it's so image heavy is there is just sort of an importance of the image, more so than the video and the data that I've seen on social media. It's a lot more shareable. With a video, you have to stop, take your time, watch it. Where are you? You can look at a photo. Videos make noise. You can't always play them. You don't always have the greatest network connection. We're getting there with video. But right now, the image is still king, which is why Pinterest is so incredibly popular, and why I think Viddy, with its 15-second video clip, could be really interesting and really popular. But Pinterest has already had some scandal with the affiliate links, and to then, you know, for them not to be at their core, you know, a dedicated company, like, I don't know, I think you have to kind of understand who they are and where they're going to see if they're really going to survive.
Yeah, visual Twitter is an interesting idea, but I think that the way Twitter keeps redesigning itself and adding integration with properties like Flickr and Instagram and stuff like that, they're trying to be the visual Twitter.
It just doesn't want to be the Facebook timeline with big fat images in your flow, which is why you still have to click on them. But, I mean, realistically...
Well, in Twitter?
Yes.
Twitter now, they're more and more, they're putting little previews in line, right? Apps
absolutely
are doing that.
Yes.
And that little, a little mini click, or sometimes even just embedded in the side, you're going to see, like, maybe that's more in apps, but yeah, you're get, it's what is, like, SoundCloud now. People can go and listen to SoundCloud, I think, from within Twitter.com. If they're, like, logged in, they send me links to SoundCloud, they can, I think they can just hit a play button and listen to stuff. So I think...
But see, how many servers is that running through? You know, like, I love this idea of the social handshake, you know, of sharing networks, of sharing, I'm here tweeting and sharing because this is a platform that I share, but I'm sharing about music and I'm using this platform. And I love this idea of combining them, but people got to play nicer. You know, like, it's still just really slow, and I'm getting annoyed with the walled gardens. I'm feeling like I'm back in AOL
well, yeah.
time.
Well, Twitter is going more and more toward walled garden.
You've heard
they're warning off apps?
Yes.
Right. Facebook never really opened up, and now they're going back the other way, but
Twitter
is really...
They're having more features in the walled garden.
The latest buzz I'm hearing is that Twitter is really going to try to become a direct competitor to Facebook, which, you know, because what I've been saying to you a lot is, like, I think I could see them dividing the world between that. It's that people that are bigger fans of Twitter than Facebook, like me...
They have to open up their account.
Well, people like me have been saying that Twitter was going to supersede Facebook, maybe, like, or hoping it would, but a lot of people haven't gotten the Twitter account, right? Twitter is still for people who are, like, I don't want to say loudmouths, but, like, content creators or people that like to... talk, or people, or there's a lot of lurkers, but, like, that doesn't really add to your flow that much if somebody is just, like, following and lurking. Like, you know, the people that talk on Twitter, it's like, I was hoping that people would adopt that relative openness of communication and that they would move from Facebook to Twitter. Like, a lot of, it seems like mostly just geek friends have done that. Mostly just people that are into more of the tech world do that with Twitter. But the, you know, like, the non-technical crowd doesn't seem to be moving from Facebook, but I've heard that their growth is flat or actually going down a little.
I think that Twitter and Facebook have done a lot for the market, and I think that, like you said, I think earlier when we had a conversation that Google Plus is like the suburbs, but I think that's another one to watch too. I actually am in the, I can't handle another third social network.
Yeah, and Google Plus isn't open. Like, they don't make it easy to push your content in from Twitter or other places.
Right, and I don't know what to do there, and it's so Google engineering dry and cold and unfriendly.
Yeah.
And I have to put people in circles, and...
It just doesn't have the activity level. It just doesn't have the level of activity to justify what they're trying to do. You know what I mean? I mean, other than like, geeks that are live in certain clusters, it just isn't taking off.
I think what I don't like the most is that I don't know what circle I'm in of other people. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what I'm waiting for is, like, what if there were a security breach that exposed it? Facebook has had many security breaches that have exposed this type of data.
Right.
Or at least people have been able to look for short periods or whatever. And I wonder if that got exposed. You know, what kind of ways that would, like, that would be quite a, that would be a good, you know, thing to leak out, you know, if you're, you know.
I just saw, like, a fake LeBron James inbox. There was, like, a LeBron James email got hacked. And it had, like, a tab that was, like, how do you spell Krzyzewski, and an IM with Kobe Bryant. You know, just, like, ridiculous stuff. And, like, an email that was, like, now that we won, will you listen in timeout? You know, just... That's pretty awesome.
But, like, an obvious hoax.
Obvious hoax.
Yeah, yeah, because people's emails do get hacked. I remember when Sarah Palin's emails get hacked, and I got hacked. A lot of, you know, I think that a lot of people moved away from doing email as their primary communication tool when they realized, like, the scandal possibilities of it.
Yeah.
Well, the song you heard a little clip of is called No Sleep. It's by my side project called Screambird. You can see more about that at screambird.djmcloud.com. And there's a link there. You can get the music for free via torrent. Or you can just you can go to the Google Play Store and you can support the Screambird project and this podcast. By buying one or a few of those MP3s that we have on sale there. If you have feedback for the show, you can send it to djmcloud@sf3am.com. And so, welcome back to the DJM Cloud Podcast with me, Daniel J. McKeown, and with Jessica. So... We talk about technology and social media. I mean, that was a good discussion on the trends that are out there. Although we didn't bring up MySpace, which I think we'll have to get to at some point later. Maybe not. Okay, but
are we done talking about MySpace?
Are we gonna go? Are we gonna? We gotta go.
Are we recording?
Yeah, the recording's still on.
Okay, good. Well, I don't know. You have so many screens.
Yeah, I'm. You know, to give you an idea, if you're listening, I'm recording this on an iMac. I used the built-in microphone Am I allowed to admit that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we keep looking for microphone. We want one that'll work for music recording too, for your voice potentially, and even guitar recording, like, and also for recording podcasts. So we might. I was looking at the Rode Podcaster, another like, and looking at some USB microphones. We should get one of those. This does have a pretty good microphone. I think the MacBook Pro 15-inch we have is not quite as good of a microphone. This one, what it does, though, the computer makes a bit of noise. This one's not that bad, but there's a certain amount of sound. And we can probably take that out by putting the microphone to the side of the room and, you know, trying to work on the audio stuff a little bit. But I think, you know, I mean, I would definitely try to put out a good quality product. Well, what kind of stuff do people do in the summer in Cleveland?
People like to go out on their boats. They like to go see Carlos Jones, who's a reggae band.
Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah, we're going to go to Reggae Fest, Midwest Reggae Fest.
We're going
to
do that. And we were out on a boat, and I don't think I told this story on the podcast, did I? About what happened on the boat? We were out on Katie's boat, and around Lake Erie, and I was, you know, Jessica's heard me tell many stories. And I bet a lot of them were probably boring looking back. I wasn't trying to be boring at the time. Anyway, so there's a bunch of stories about me going out on the water with my grandpa. And my grandpa would say, he'd see my grandma getting ready to go out on the boat. And he's like, well, you hardly ever go out on the boat. What are you doing? Why are you going out today? There's other stuff that you know you'd rather do today. And she's like, no, Dan's going out on the boat. You know, referring to me. She was like, I'm gonna keep an eye on him. And so like my grandpa goes out and I'm trying to like figure out how to do what would you call it? What's a verb for like being a sea salt? You know, but I was trying to be a sea salt out there on the lake. It was like Michigan when I was a kid, and I would start getting sick, and I would start getting dizzy, and my stomach would start getting upset, and then maybe my Uncle Bud would be on the boat back in the day, and he would have a cigar, and that would be an extra thing to stink up, and then the outboard boat, he's always an outboard. My grandpa was a no-frills, basic fishing boat type guy. He'd rather have a couple of those than like anything, fancy or big, or with an inboard motor that you don't smell, you know. So the oil, the gas smells, and then I'm throwing up over the side, and then when I was a kid at the time, my grandma was like, all right, come on, we're going back in, he's getting sick, come on, it's enough, you've done enough fishing, we're going back in. And my grandpa said, we should stay out here, it'll build his character. And and then my grandma, I think, like, was like, she said, like, build your own character, we're going in. And she got to decide in the end, fortunately. So I come back in. So then this story was out there. Everybody knew about it. Well, not everybody, hardly anybody. But anyway, but I was telling Jessica on the way, we're going out to the Rocky River Marina and going to get on the boat. And I'm like, well, I'm not gonna get sick. I mean, well, I don't know if I guarantee that, but I was like, I don't think so. I think Lake Erie is a smaller lake. I think it'll be fine. And we go out there, and it's a little wavy, it's a little choppy, and that's plenty. It's actually really wavy. You end up riding up and down the waves a lot, which isn't that bad. It's the choppy stuff that gets you.
Yeah.
And I just started feeling dizzy, and then I got sick to my stomach. I threw up over the side, but I didn't throw up on the boat, which is like a rule on that boat, so...
I think it's more not throwing up on Katie.
But you know, you wouldn't want, you know, the boat is her close personal property. I didn't want to disrespect it.
You did a great job in writing.
I have very true aim with that. Do we have artwork for this show?
Ooh, I don't think so.
I've taken some pictures lately, but maybe I could just use one of them. I don't know. So what, you know, what is your next writing project going to be about?
Well, I don't know.
You don't have anything in the pipeline right now?
I don't have anything in the pipeline. I should put something in the pipeline.
Well, I don't mean, I guess we can cut this out or whatever if you don't want, but I see you write. You just don't, but you maybe you journal or you write things, but you know, I know you do it. I guess you don't have like a project in the pipeline. You just write. So, I mean, that's cool.
Well, I guess, I mean, I've been thinking a lot about teaching yoga.
So you think, like maybe we should make, like a yoga, like, instructional book with you with, like, pictures? And, like, we could do an iBook where it would have video embedded in.
Yeah.
Could use the whole real format and people could put it on their iPads. And it'd be... You know, it'd be like, it'd be a nice instructional video. What's your next fiction thing gonna be about?
Well, what's interesting to me, not necessarily fiction, but writing about my life and my experiences.
You know, you're not into like writing like fiction, like alternative history fiction. Like, what if Dick Cheney had become the dictator and was still in charge of the country?
I don't think I'd ever want to spend any brain power creating a reality like that.
What do you think of those people that write that shit where it's like an alternative version of the Civil War? Like, I know Newt Gingrich was involved in something like that one time where you talk about he has some book where it envisioned the South winning the Civil War.
What I think of them is they're on their own path and they're doing that for some reason.
Yeah, to propagandize for retrograde values and you know, racism, perpetuate racism in an image of the decency of Southern slaveholders, which is false.
And we have to stand up against that.
Well, we're,
you know, like, I just saw this thing that said, you know, there's that big campaign against smoking, right? And like, now people pretty much understand that, like, smoking a cigarette is bad, right? And then the next thing they're going to go after is, like, dairy. And they're going to be, like, eating cheese, drinking milk, whatever. It's bad, like cigarettes.
Is it actually as bad like cigarettes?
So many doctors who are treating cancer patients are telling them to stop eating dairy. There's a lot of hormones in dairy. Which cause cancer or have been linked to cause cancer in some instances. And it's just high in fat and cholesterol. I mean, there's like lighter versions. But I wish, though, that they would really look at if it is truly dairy or if it is just the way that it's being produced in our world.
And the additives and the genetic
right.
modification
like
and all that ridiculous stuff, all the
natural,
chemicals being in. Yeah, well, that's what this stuff, I think this GMO stuff is a nightmare. This stuff is
horrible.
Like, is, you know, they're trying to like reprogram the planet. It's appalling. Yeah, I think this stuff, Well, what about, like, I mean, that's kind of, it's all kind of linked, like, the culture of over-medication, the culture of, like, mass hypochondria, all these fake, you know, diseases of, like, you know, I'm sorry, but a lot of the diagnoses of things that are going on are bullshit, or, like, what the hell is some of these things? Like, you dig into, like, what is supposedly denoted by schizophrenia, or by some of these disorders, and it's really hard to figure out if there's any coherent kind of like disorder, or if this is just like a group of people that they're just decided they want to put a bunch of people on lithium and Thorazine. Have you heard that they're talking about putting lithium in the drinking water in Japan?
No.
Just shut everybody up. Don't complain about the nuclear problems and all this stuff.
I already heard they were told, like, don't say anything about this, don't say anything about that. Hide this, hide that.
Fukushima is, like, apparently there are terrible things going on health-wise, as you can imagine, with children from Fukushima. They're trying to get the food into the, you know, supply chain again. And, I mean, you know, forget it. That's terrible. And then, like, I don't know, you know, those reactors, this is something that just keeps kind of, you know, continues to be a problem quietly. The radiation from those melted down reactors and this stuff, the mass radiation pollution put into the Pacific Ocean. You know, what do you think, like, the whales and the dolphins think about that?
I'm sure they are not liking it. I wonder if the population has even changed. You know, like, I mean, we are going to see effects of this for a long time to come.
Well, do you think that we're going to be able to get rid of nuclear power in this country?
Yeah, I mean, you know,
Germany's committed to it. Why can't we lead?
We have a smart group of people here, and it's something that we know in America. Dedicated, you know, engineer types.
Uh-huh.
Who want to contribute to America as a forward-thinking country and want to participate in the world community. And this is the way to do it. You know, and to look at how do we sustain, how do we find different kinds of energy, what's really going to work. I mean, and we're going into a type of survival mode. How much longer do we really have on this earth if we don't start to take care of it?
Do you think that there's going to be a massive realignment of consciousness in December of 2012?
This December?
Well, it's like, isn't that the end of the long count Mayan calendar? Sometime in December of 2012?
What happens at the end of the calendar?
Well, people have said all sorts of crazy shit about what happens. It's not clear. We don't know. I think it's probably a bullshit prediction that some sort of apocalypse or something awaits that, you know, the planet at that point. You know, people come up with these fanciful ideas about the poles reversing and the Earth, but none of this is particularly scientific. It's you know, depending on what astrological source you ask it, there's some sort of like alignment, you know, of the planets at the same time that, you know, the Mayan calendar probably just kind of ran up, you know, it ran its last cycle up to this point of alignment, you know, but it corresponds, I think, with the astrological age of Aquarius, right? So it's the same. That's the same time too. Is that happens at the same time? So there is kind of like a Western zodiac equivalent of the. It's a certain kind of time period that to me it feels like a better date to focus on change than a date like 2000. 2000 was like, it's too overloaded with all sorts of other ideas, right? There'd been 100 years. That was the ridiculous end to it. But But through the, I remember in the 80s and 90s, people were starting to talk about how everything isn't really going to get sorted out by the year 2000. That was dawning on people. Do you remember the kind of ridiculous utopianism of the early 80s? And then by the late 80s, early 90s, people were starting to realize, like, by the year 2000. Well,
yeah.
Yes, I remember when I was a kid.
Of the 90s.
I was a kid listening to like news radio, and they had like Charles Osgood on, and he says, you know, everything was supposed to be figured out by the year 2000, and you know, like welfare wouldn't be necessary, there wouldn't be any poor, people would have satisfying lives and easy transportation. I don't know. I'm just kind of like, you know, paraphrasing and making up, like fabricating, but I mean, it's like, it's this idea that the year 2000 is coming and progress has happened, so this is going to be a real pinnacle of a progress, and then by then people realize that it was, yeah, things, yeah, you know, things weren't going to completely come together by then, and then there was the Y2K panic and all that, but 2000 has been overloaded for so many years, and I mean, for people that are devout Christians, I mean, what really even is the significance of 2000 other than it's 2,000 years after the, like, official birth date of Christ, according to some tradition? Although, I believe I was taught in Catholic school that Christ was probably born around 3 or 4 A.D.
Right, and it's not like he's going to pop out of a cake at the 2000th anniversary.
What is meaningful about 2000? Exactly.
Right.
Even
it's
like
just a nice, even long number.
Even gospel references, if people want to get crazy numerological, I think they revolve around like 40, like 40 days in the desert and stuff like that. There's no 2000. There's nothing, you know, you can always try to find stuff. But yeah, I mean, so anyway, that was just a strange thing that was seen, because a lot of people, I mentioned this in the last podcast, people want to believe in the apocalypse. They many, many generations have lived on this earth believing the apocalypse was very near. Whether you're talking about early Christians or you're talking about the Muqtada al-Sadr kind of people in Iraq, and the they're known as millenarians. They're known as people that are rushing around because they think the end is very soon. And that, like, appears to affect the way that they relate to the world. Do you know what I mean? And it's a very... And remember Ronald Reagan said, you know, I think that the world, this generation might see the end of the world, or whatever kind of nonsense that he said, you know, like, so, I mean, what do you think about that human tendency? Because you think it is one, right? Like, that, to think there's an apocalypse, to believe in that? Many sects or individuals have believed that, if not everyone or even a majority.
Yeah, jeez. To me, it feels like a chicken and the egg. You know, where did it start? Religion or at home? You know, what influences this deep patriarch within us? But this need to always be reverent.
But dude, why the apocalypse? Like. You know, why do we, because is that the maximal claim,
yeah,
of a fanatic?
Yeah, that's like, you didn't do a good job, it's over. It's game over.
Well,
that's the apocalypse.
Well,
it's like,
it's a maximal claim. It's the ultimate fire and brimstone. It's like hell coming on earth, according,
yeah,
to what the way they teach it or something like that.
And it, exactly, right? So you have all these imaginations and visuals of hell, but you're right, with the apocalypse, you get to experience it before you actually go there. So you better shape up, kind of thing. It's just a fear tactic.
Yeah, and that's all it is. But and then all these people go around trying to, like, believe it. Like, what? End times. I wonder, that's the term. You know, you gotta, the other thing is, these things are always shrouded in language, like okay, Mitt Romney is a Mormon. Most people in America don't realize how kooky that cult is, right? I mean, you're like that's something that like, because you lived in Nevada, you knew a lot of people who are Mormon, right? Like, I don't think that it's an exaggeration to say that the fanaticism of the Mormons, it has dangerous and unpleasant social side effects. That it is such a absurd belief system and system of rules that people just get really like the rebellion from it is very extreme and very ugly,
mm-hmm.
and people are cast out. Like, people don't actually realize the extremism of it. They might think that they have religious relatives, and maybe they whine about them behind their back about how much they go to church or synagogue or something. Like, I don't think they realize what it's like when Mormons will, like, basically, I mean, it's not like Scientology because they don't call it disconnection, but don't they kind of just ditch people when they stop paying their 10% of income and stop coming to temple and kissing the right ass and following the rules?
Yes.
Well, no, I mean, but, like, Mormons, what makes them different? What makes them more fanatical? Like, they believe, they have beliefs that a lot of Christians don't accept as Christian, but they call themselves Christian. I mean, I think there's, is that fraudulent, or is it a misunderstanding? You know, in terms, their doctrine is very strange. Like, they believe in, like, they wear magic underwear. That's true.
I know it is. You've shown me pictures and websites galore. Hopefully you'll post some of the show notes for everyone else to enjoy.
I don't even know what is the definitive site about magic underwear, because that's one of those things, like, people don't, aren't like, you know,
that's
this is just temple garment.
That's what I strive to have, is the definitive site.
See, let's see, Hollywood, look, share. It comes back to share.
Always.
Cher, this is from HollywoodReporter.com. Cher accused of bigotry after magic underwear Romney tweet. The actress ignited criticism Friday after using an offensive Mormon term on Twitter. Cher has ignited the electoral controversy du jour with an anti-Romney tweet that some are interpreting as an expression of bigotry against Mormons. Friday, the singer posted a tweet expressing the need for President Barack Obama to get, quote, all his ducks in a row, unquote. She wrote, quote, I feel if he doesn't get all his ducks in a row, we'll be forced to listen to uncaring Richie Rich, the whitest man in magic underwear in the WH, unquote.
Nice.
Yeah, what's wrong with what Cher said? I'm not even going to read any more of the article, because who cares what people are whining about? They should just listen to Cher and just be like, it's amazing, like they should come out and say it's an honor to be mentioned by a legend. We appreciate hearing for her opinion, whatever it is. And now we're gonna shut the fuck up, because we are walking around in magic underwear, and it's getting really hot in the heat. And
but she's clearly showing her biasness to Mormons.
Wait.
By using magic underwear. That's a derogatory term?
No, it's not. I don't understand. See, I can't agree with that. No, that's their propagandistic term. I'm not going to call it a death tax. I'm going
to
call it an inheritance tax.
Do Mormons refer to it as magic?
No, I'm not going to accept the propagandistic framing of a cult. You know, understand what I'm saying is that I'm not, people misuse language all the time. If we agreed to use the language Scientology used, we'd be talking about how out ethic we were being or something ridiculous like that. Like, religion, it's fundamental to religion to make false distortions and confusions and ambiguities by misusing and abusing language. And so I'm not going to submit to that. Cher is absolutely right. Not only is she a legend, she's completely in line with this comment, in my opinion.
I don't think so. I don't think she needs to call it magic underwear. I mean, she is just putting out more negativeness into the world. And, you know, you can hold back. You don't have to spew that out. We need to heal as a universe and as a community. And hating people for that kind of stuff and putting it out there, it's not doing any good. It's not bringing us closer. It's just driving us further apart. We'll be right back.
Well, that song is Pacific Shores by Niner, our band. And that's available for free download at the Niner band site, blogs.sf3am.com/NEENER. And then you can also find our music on SoundCloud. My name on SoundCloud is DJ MCloud. That's where we post that stuff. So thanks for listening to the DJMCloud.com podcast number 41. And thank you, Jessica.
Thank you. Bye-bye.